All right, today, simply one verse from John chapter 10. Verses is spelled out there, printed out in your bulletin. But you might want to hold your Bible open to John chapter 10 to see some of the context around it, to get an idea of what Jesus is trying to emphasize in this passage. John chapter 10, verse 10, this is a verse that we should all memorize. I remember years ago when I was leading the youth, we had some theme verses that I wanted them to know and to memorize and to be able to recite and to live by, and this was one of them. John chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus said, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." Now, the context of this whole passage here in John chapter 10 is the concept of shepherds and sheep. Of course, we know the Bible says that we, as the people of God, are the sheep of His pasture. Jesus is the good shepherd. In fact, He is the great shepherd. He is the one that lays down His life for the sheep. We know that the Lord is our shepherd. I shall not want, Psalm 23 says. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. This passage, Jesus is contrasting Himself as the good shepherd, as the true shepherd, the one who loves the sheep, with those who are false prophets, who are pretenders, who are bad shepherds, who are just in it for themselves, who are hirelings that don't really care anything about the sheep, that when the wolf comes, they flee because they do not care about the sheep. Jesus is the true shepherd. But I want to look at just this one verse in the context, and I don't think this is taking it out of context at all. Jesus is trying to teach a spiritual lesson here for us. There are two ways for us to live. We can live God's ways, or we can live the devil's ways. There's two paths. There's one that leads to heaven and eternal life. There's one that leads to hell and eternal condemnation. Jesus said, "The thief comes not except to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly." So we want to look at the two ways. The title of the message today is Life or Death. Life or death. There's a good friend of mine that grew up in Camargo, Kentucky, which is in the Mount Sterling, Kentucky area. His name is Mark. He was raised in church, went to church like so many that grow up in a Christian home. Every time the doors were open, they were there. He had good parents that loved God, that loved Jesus and served Him. Had a bright future ahead of him. But as a teenager, he chose to go the devil's way. He got trapped in drug addiction. The only peace that he had was while he was sleeping. It's the only peace that he could ever get was when he was asleep, because as soon as he woke up, his thought and his mind was only to the drugs. How can I get the drugs that I need? He wanted to be free. He was trapped and wanted to be delivered from that. He wondered and doubted if he would ever be free. He was in a hopeless situation. You know, that's the way that sin is. Sin will take you farther than you ever meant to go. It will keep you there longer than you ever wanted to stay. And it'll cost you far more than you ever wanted to pay. That's the way the devil's way is. He has his claws, figuratively speaking, and gets a hold of us and pulls us in, and we're trapped. You see, Satan's plan is to steal, to kill, and destroy. We're going to look at several ways that Satan does that. And by the way, Satan is just not a figment of our imagination. It's not just a comical character that's is red and has horns and a pitchfork. He's a real enemy of your soul. Jesus said that Satan wants to sift you as wheat. He is your adversary. The devil, he's roaming about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith. So how does Satan steal? Well, first of all, he steals the Word of God. In the very beginning, in Genesis chapter 3, you had Adam and Eve there in the paradise of God. They had full access to the tree of life where they could live forever, had everything they could possibly ever want. And that evil serpent came along and began to deceive. He began to cast doubt upon the character of God and the intentions of God. And he came to Eve and said, "Did God really say that you should not eat from any tree in the garden?" No, we're free to eat from every tree in the garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then Satan began to accuse God of bad motives. He said, "You won't die if you eat of that tree. God knows that if you eat of that tree, you'll be like Him, knowing good and evil." Implying that God didn't want her to be like God. Talk about a lie of the devil. It's God's intention and plan and desire that we be like Him, that we have His characteristics, that we have His attitude. So he began to cast doubt. He stole the Word of God from Eve. And he steals the Word away from potential believers. People who hear the gospel. Jesus told a parable of the sower. And he said, some seed, a man goes forth to sow in seed, and some seed falls along the path. And he said, the birds of the air come and eat the seed, and they steal it away. And he said, that seed is like anyone who hears the word and does not understand it. Then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. Before they could believe, before they could become a Christian, he steals it. The wicked one. That's Satan. That's the devil. He's a robber. And he steals the word from the Christian day in and day out by our neglect of it and our laying it aside and not opening it. He steals the word. We had a good lesson this morning in Sunday school about how King Josiah came to the throne when he was a young, very young man, 8 years old, and he began to seek the Lord and began to drive out all the false worship, the idol worship from the nation of Judah. And then one day while they were working on the temple because it was in disrepair, they found the book of the law. Imagine finding a Bible that's been lost in church. It's hard to imagine. But when he heard the words of the book of the law, he realized that he had fallen far away. His nation had turned far away from God. And so the devil steals the word by keeping it from us in whatever way that he can. Another thing that he steals is he steals our joy. The devil steals our joy by getting us to focus on the bad things and forgetting about the good things. If we become critical and always complaining and instead of being thankful for what we have, we're resentful for what we don't have. And we have no joy when we're like that. Sin also, in general, takes away our joy. You can read about David, King David, a man after God's own heart, that after he committed this heinous sin of adultery and murder, that he finally came to his senses and repented in Psalm 51. You can read about it. And part of that prayer of repentance in Psalm 51, he says, "Oh God, restore to me the joy of your salvation." See, we lose our joy, but we allow the devil to steal our joy. Neglecting our prayer life steals our joy. The devil distracts us with things, with this and that, and we neglect our basic disciplines of Bible study and prayer. And when our joy is gone, so is our strength to live for God, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. So we've got to be careful that we don't let the devil steal our joy. Another thing the devil steals is he steals our time. We give too much attention, too much time to things that don't even matter. Things that are unimportant in the grand scheme of things. You know, we say we don't have time for this and time for that, but I believe we have time for what we want, what's important to us. We have time for that. But so often we make sure that we watch our favorite TV shows, even DVR them, right? With technology, so we don't miss an episode. What about our favorite sports teams? We want to make sure we don't miss that game. These are not necessarily bad things, but they take time. Scrolling through, that thumb scrolling through all the Facebook feeds, make sure our 500 friends, we know what's going on in their lives day after day. And most of the time, the things you see on there are not significant. These are not bad things, but steals our time from the things that really matter. We have a tendency to work overtime so we can make more money, so that we can have more things, instead of just spending time with our kids and with our family. I never forget the illustration that James Dobson, who was the founder of Focus on the Family, psychologist and author, Dr. James Dobson. Before I became a Christian, a friend invited us to their church to go through this series called Turn Your Heart Toward Home. And one of the things that he said in that series was, we spend so much time and effort to try to give our kids the things that we didn't have when we were growing up, that we forget to give them the things that we did have when we were growing up, like love and faith and commitment and integrity and honesty and all those things that really matter. Another way that the devil steals from us is he steals our money through materialism. Keeping up with the Joneses is the old saying. I don't know how the Jones family got to be the example that we should all live to strive to be like. But keeping up with the Joneses, meaning that the more stuff we have, the more successful we are. And our houses end up being filled with things that never get used. I like this old proverb I read a long time ago. It says, be content with your little while the fool seeks for more. Be content with your little while the fool seeks for more. Randy Alcorn, in his book, The Treasure Principle, reminds us that everything that we have is going to end up in the junk pile. It's going to be thrown away. It's going to be discarded. Why do we give so much attention and focus and money to those things which are not going to last? So many people have a get-rich-quick mentality. Gambling has caused many people to lose everything that they have, including their family. You and I both know, probably, people that have lost all that they've had because of that gambling addiction. That, oh, if I can just win, if I can just win back what I lost, if I can just win big, my life will be set. Did you know the lottery is simply a tax on the poor? People that want to strike it rich, get rich quick. It's either a tax on the poor or a tax on people that are bad at math. Maybe both. So he steals our money. Next thing he does is he steals our health through addictions. He steals our health. Consider for a moment cigarette smoking. These statistics are from the American Cancer Society. Smoking is the single most preventable cause of premature death in the United States. Every year, smoking kills more than 125,000 people. Is that something that God has blessed us with? Say, here, let me give you a pack. Or would that be the one who comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy that entices us to do things like that? Lung cancer accounts for 20% of all cancer deaths, and 80% of lung cancer is caused by smoking. Consider this: death from lung cancer is more than colon cancer, breast cancer, and prostate cancer combined. He steals our health and ultimately our life through addictions. What about alcohol? These statistics from the National Institute of Health says that 30% of highway deaths are drinking alcohol related. A large portion of crime is alcohol or drug related. alcoholics end up with a variety of health problems. And 178,000 people die each year from alcohol-related causes. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Drugs are an epidemic in our society. Every family, I believe, nowadays is affected by drug use. I know my family has been. I've got one particular nephew that just about destroyed his entire life. Thankfully, I believe he's finally clean. More and more states nowadays are legalizing recreational use of marijuana. Coming to a neighborhood near you. What does this say? This is saying, hey, this is not so bad. This is good. That encourages more and more widespread use of these things. And the devil is destroying our health and ultimately our lives through these addictions. Next thing he does is he destroys our dreams and our plans. You may not remember the story of Jacob and Esau in the Old Testament. These were twin sons of Isaac. Esau was born first, and then Jacob. Jacob was known as the deceiver. And one particular day, Jacob was one that hung around the tents, while Esau was one that was always out hunting game. One day when Esau was out hunting game and came back in, and he was so hungry. We've all been there, right? I'm starving to death. And Jacob, being the deceiver that he is, was there and said, hey, I'll give you a bowl of stew if you sell me your birthright. And Esau cared so little about his birthright. You see, being the firstborn, he was entitled to a double portion of the estate and his inheritance. He didn't care anything about that. He only lived for the moment. It's like, what good is my birthright if I die from starvation? Yeah, you can have my birthright. Just give me that stew. Give me that bowl of soup. And he lost his birthright because of such a foolish decision. The devil destroyed his dreams and his plans. In a similar way, one night of sexual sin damages young people's lives. It doesn't destroy them, but it certainly alters their plans time and time again. I plan to do this, but this happened. And God forbid that they would destroy that life through abortion. That's never. You can never make things better, correct a wrong by another wrong. Two wrongs don't make a right. You treasure life. So he destroys our dreams and our plans. And the next thing, the last thing, is the devil is a murderer. And he inspires people to commit murder. Just last October, it's hard to believe that'll be a year in a couple of weeks, the evil terrorist organization Hamas massacred 1,200 or 1,300 people. I don't remember what the last number is. In Israel, just went into to their homes, to their music concerts, wherever they were at, and began just destroying people, killing them savagely. Four people in the United States. There was a school shooting in Georgia earlier this month, and four people just this summer, back in July, in Florence, Kentucky, were killed. Who inspires people to do these things? It's not God. It's not Jesus. It's the thief. It's the one who came to steal, to kill, and to destroy that inspires these evil acts. We shouldn't be surprised because when Jesus was a young boy, remember the wise men came from the east to Jerusalem seeking the one who was to be born king of the Jews? And they said, well, the scriptures say that he would be born in Bethlehem. So they went to Bethlehem and found Jesus there. And King Herod had said, hey, when you find him, let me know because I want to go and worship him too. Well, that was a lie. The devil is a liar and the father of lies. He inspired Herod to lie there. And then when the wise men were warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, King Herod got extremely mad, extremely angry, and to make sure that he killed Jesus, he gave orders to kill every young boy in Bethlehem under 2 years of age. But the angel warned Joseph in a dream to flee to Egypt, so Jesus was spared. The devil was trying to kill Jesus from infancy. And then finally, one of his own disciples, Judas Iscariot, betrayed him, turned him over to the chief priests and the scribes for a little bit of money, 30 pieces of silver. And Jesus was ultimately crucified. So the devil is a murderer. He inspires people to commit murder. The devil is a thief, and he comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But praise God, we have a Savior. There is a Redeemer. There is one who comes to rescue us from the devil's grip. And his name is Jesus. Jesus came to give us life, to give us abundant life. He came to give us life instead of death. You see, we were dead in our sins and our trespasses, but Jesus makes us alive. He makes us spiritually alive, not just physically alive. Jesus told Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews, he said, "That which is born of flesh is flesh, but that which is born of spirit is spirit." We can be born again. We can have new life through Jesus. Ephesians 2 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ." And this new life that He gives us is an abundant life. It's not a life of drudgery and boredom and heartache. It's a life of joy. The Bible says it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. One of the things that we enjoy as believers in Christ with Jesus living in us is the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is what kind of life Jesus gives us. It is eternal life. John wrote in 1 John 5, "This is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life." It's as simple as that. Jesus is eternal life. If we have Him, we have eternal life. If not, we do not have eternal life. It's eternal life that He gives us. He puts us in a new kingdom. He rescues us, according to Colossians 1, says He delivers us from the power of darkness and conveys us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. No longer in the kingdom of darkness, but the kingdom of light. You see, Jesus came to restore all that was lost due to the devil. The devil came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus came to destroy the devil's work. 1 John 3 says, "The Son of God appeared that He might destroy the works of the devil." He gives us a love for God's Word. Instead of allowing the devil to steal the Word, He gives us a love for a Word and a hunger for the Word of God, to read it, to study it, to meditate on it, and to live it. He restores our joy that the devil stole from us. He breaks the chains of addiction, restoring our health. Jesus sets our priorities straight so we can focus on the important things of life. He teaches us to be better managers so the devil can't steal our money. He gives us new and better dreams than we ever had before. And He accomplished all this by giving His own life for us. He came to redeem us. He is the good shepherd. Jesus Himself said in John 10, "I am the good shepherd that lays down His life for the sheep." He loves us. But not only did He give His life for us, He gives His life to us. He told His disciples that He would not leave them alone, that He would come to them. He said, "I'm going to the Father, but I will not leave you as orphans. I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, and He will be with you forever." He says in Revelation 3, He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears My voice and will open the door, I will come in." Paul said in Galatians 2, "I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me." See, it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He gave His life for us, and then He gives His life to us by living in us and through us. So how do we wrap this all up? Well, the devil wants to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus came to destroy the devil's work. You may be wondering what happened to my friend Mark that I mentioned in the beginning. Well, around age 18, in the pit of despair, something changed in Mark's life at Camargo Church of God. He fully surrendered his life to Jesus and was gloriously rescued from the devil's grip. God instantly took away his addiction to drugs, and after 30-plus years, he has no desire, never had a desire for them. And he is currently the pastor of a large church in Ohio. That's what God can do. That's what Jesus can do. He can rescue us from the devil's grip. He can rescue anybody from the devil's grip. So the question is, does the devil have a foothold in your life? Is he stealing your joy? Is he stealing the word? Is he stealing your time, your money? Is he stealing your health? Is he destroying your dreams? The Bible says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Take hold of that abundant life that can only come through Jesus Christ. And which will it be for you today? Will it be life through Jesus or death by following the devil's way? Choose life that you and your children may live. Let's stand together as we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Jesus, our great Redeemer. Lord, the one who came to rescue us, to deliver us from bondage and to set us free, to give us abundant life. Oh God, I pray that you will help us by your Spirit, Lord, to examine ourselves, to see if we are truly in the faith, to see if we are following you. And God, that we will not fall prey to the devil and his lies. All he can do is lie to us. But God, we want to be people of truth. So help us to buy the truth, to receive the truth, and to live the truth, which is in Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So God, I pray that you would just draw us to yourself. May somebody come to an altar of prayer and find you. Lord, call upon the name of the Lord and be saved, or whatever their need is, Lord. We just ask that you would help them to bring it to you, to cast their cares upon you, because you care for them. In Jesus' name, amen.